Loving speech and deep listening. Words can cause much happiness or much suffering. The way you speak to others can bring them much joy, happiness, self-confidence, hope, and trust. If we could always choose our words carefully, we would make others very happy. Technology has enabled more instant communication than ever before. I just began a Snapchat streak with my little, who informed me we have to do it every day, even if it's just sending a picture of nothing. We also communicate via text, reconnect via Facebook, or muse on Twitter. But these new communication channels encourage very superficial communication. And often we hit send before we have stopped to review the communication from the eyes of the receiver. With this type of communication, we do not feel deeply understood, nor do we have the ability to understand others. That is why we need to practice loving speech and deep listening. When I signed up to talk on this topic, I had no idea I would be fortunate enough to spend a week having loving speech and deep listening modeled for me at the Mindfulness Meditation Teachers Program led by Tara Brock and Jack Kornfield. When complaints were made using unskillful speech, Tara would stop, reframe the questions to ensure she understood and the speaker felt understood. Whenever she sensed we were not present, we'd do a one-minute sit or a mindful movement to bring us back. This was done with kindness, not judgment. Thich Nhat Hanh says the art of great speech needs right fuel, right thought, and also correct practice. With right mindfulness, we can see clearly all of our thoughts and feelings and know whether this or that thought is harming or helping us. The contents of right speech include speaking truthfully, not speaking with a forked tongue, not speaking cruelly, don't allow toxic words to escape from your lips. When we say something poisonous, it's usually because of our habit energies, and not exaggerating or embellishing. Buddha said in the Anguttara Nikaya Sutta, if speech has five marks, O monks, it is well spoken, not badly spoken. Blameless and above reproach from the wise. What are these five marks? It is speech that is timely, true, gentle, purposeful, and spoken with a mind of loving kindness. In addition to the content, consider the form of your speech. Thich Nhat Hanh says, if our way of speaking causes unnecessary suffering, it is not right speech. The truth must be presented in ways that others can accept. Consider each word carefully before you say anything. If you're not able to speak calmly, then don't speak that day. Open your mouth and speak only when you're sure you can use calm and loving speech. You have to train yourself to be able to do so. A story about the Buddha's past life when he was a bodhisattva. In this life, he was the king of Benares. He had a difficult mother who was rude and ill-tongued. The bodhisattva was aware of this, but did not want to hurt her. One day, they were walking through the park, and a blue jay started screeching. It was a very discordant sound, so everyone covered their ears and cried, "What a harsh call!" The next day, walking through the park, they saw a cuckoo bird. Not very beautiful, but it had a beautiful call. People were happy and hoped it would sing again. This was the moment the bodhisattva was waiting for, to talk with his mother. He said, "Mother dear, the jay's cry was dreadful and we covered our ears rather than listen to it. No one delights in a coarse language. Though without the beauty, the cuckoo won the love of all with its pleasing call. One's speech should therefore be friendly and restrained, calm and full of meaning." Thus, exhorted by her son, the mother became refined in her speech and elegant in manners. Mindful speech requires learning to listen deeply. If we cannot listen mindfully, we will not speak mindfully. Thich Nhat Hanh says we'll be speaking only our own ideas and not in response to the other person. Mirabai Bush said, when we think we already know what there is to hear, we're simply moving too fast to really listen. That's where meditation comes in. For years, I had been trying to work on my listening skills with no improvement. No matter how strong my intention to listen better, I still completed other sentences and did not listen well. 8 years ago, I started meditating, and slowly my listening skills improved. So much so that when I told a colleague at American Family that I used to finish other sentences, she did not believe me, as she had never seen me doing that. Unless we look deeply into ourselves, deep listening will not be easy. It requires us to give up preconceived ideas, judgments, and desires. So being good at listening requires the ability to listen to yourself. If you can't recognize your own beliefs and opinions, needs and fears, you won't have enough inner space to really hear anyone else. So the foundation for mindful listening is self-awareness. At the Mindfulness Meditation Teachers Program, we often had time for self-reflection and journaling before getting into our small groups. I noticed that listening was much easier when I had reflected on what I was going to say than when I hadn't. Some of the contraction fell away. As we practice mindfulness of the body, emotion, and thoughts, I look deeply into myself. This gave me the space to hear others instead of being contracted by worrying about what they might think of me. David Rohm says, like mindfulness itself, listening takes a combination of intention and attention. The intention part is having a genuine interest in the other person, their experiences, views, feelings, and needs. The attention part is being able to stay present, open, and unbiased as we receive the other's words, even when they don't line up with our own ideas or desires. So with intention, and true listening requires a deep respect and a genuine curiosity about situations. The intention is not to judge, criticize, condemn, or evaluate, but to listen with the single purpose of helping the other person suffer less. I think there's one other wholesome intention. That is to listen with the intent to be changed by what you hear, especially when you're speaking with someone with a different viewpoint. There are intentions that draw us away from deep listening. Wanting the person to perceive us in a certain way, wanting the conversation to go in a specific direction, wanting to fix or control the other person. After all my practice with deep listening, I came home with lots of things I wanted to tell my husband, Walt. He, in return, had lots to tell me. While I listened to what he said, I did not listen deeply. In the back of my mind, okay, sometimes it was in the front of my mind, I would be thinking, and I want to tell him about this, and this, and this. So rather than really focusing on what he was saying, I was preparing what I wanted to tell him. My intention was wanting the conversation to go in a specific direction. Attention is a willingness just to be there and share stories. If you listen only with half an ear, you cannot relieve suffering. Preoccupation with wants, fears, and stress keeps us from being here. The stronger the wants and fears, the more narrow the aperture. We can't take it in. We are otherwise occupied or fixated. Wanting pulls us from the present. Sometimes what we want has nothing to do with the other person. We can want to get back to work or want to go get something to eat. The energy of irritation, anger, or other negative feelings also pulls our attention away from listening. If you're suffering, you can't be there for others. In that case, the best immediate practice is to breathe in and out to calm yourself. If you cannot calm yourself, postpone the conversation to a time when you can be calm. This allows you to have compassion the whole time you are listening. Like mindfulness, deep listening is also non-judgmental. If the other person feels we are critical of what they're saying, their suffering will not be relieved. When someone listens to us in a non-judgmental way, we feel some relief right away. We also feel a connection to them. Listening in a non-judgmental way opens the space, allows us to hear what needs to be done in that moment. It also allows us to hear when it's better not to act, which is sometimes a hard message to receive. While deep listening and loving speech were not the content discussed at the Mindfulness Meditation Teacher Training Program, they were the format for processing the topics we were learning about: mindfulness of breath, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of emotions, self-compassion, and rain, to name a few. Getting in small groups multiple times a day, I had the opportunity to watch my peers model deep listening. At first, I felt uncomfortable with the long pauses after a person had just shared, and I was thinking about what I was going to say. But then seeing the smile on the speaker as the listeners just looked at them and let their words sink in, brought about a shift in me. For the second speaker, I really tried deep listening, probably for the first time in my life. It was so wonderful just to be there for the person speaking. I did not have to worry about what they would think of me, how I would respond, or how I would fix it for them. I just listened. And with deep listening, compassion came. I wanted to let them know I heard their suffering. When it was my turn to share, I could really feel the safety to speak from my heart and feel the compassion and strong connection to my small group. I learned that deep listening nourishes both the listener and the speaker, and that it brings about healing. I definitely felt this at my retreat. But it's much easier to do in a retreat setting than everyday life. My intention is to be mindful of what I feel in the body when my mind starts to drift off from really listening. I thought that I just needed to recognize that I'm getting off track, take a couple breaths, and come back with beginner's mind to hear what's being said. But in reality, it's much easier said than done. Deep listening has to be practiced just like meditation. Everyone needs understanding and acceptance. So, if you really love someone, train yourself to be a deep listener.